Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, my favorite economist, Charles Ballard, professor at Michigan State University, and the guy who conducts the State of the State survey. Some very interesting numbers. Hi, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jack?
Well, just fine. There are a lot of places we could start with this, but I guess the most interesting might be consumer confidence. Are people starting to believe here in the state of Michigan?
At least the numbers are edging up. We ask, in each survey that we do, we ask questions about how people's current situation is financially and how they are relative to a year ago and how they believe they'll be a year in the future. And each of those has been improving, maybe not surprising, since 2009 was a lousy year.
Right.
And most of them bottomed out in 08 or 09 and have been showing some steady improvement. They're nowhere near as good as they were back 10, 12 years ago, but we're headed in the right direction at long last.
And this is the highest level of consumer confidence we had seen since 2004.
In one of our measures, that's right. And in the other measures, it's the highest since 07. So, we're inching up. And it really fits with the reality of the economy. You know, our unemployment rate peaked out at 14.5. It's now down to 13. That's lousy. It's nowhere near what anybody would want, but
right.
It's better than it was.
Right. I want to digress for just a minute and talk to you about the economics of what we heard yesterday with $191 million or $190 million of new investment from General Motors in Lansing. What does that mean?
Well, you know, I think the Lansing area is likely to continue to be one of the brighter spots in Michigan.
Yeah.
We've got the GM facilities, and of course, there are a lot of places in the country where GM has really scaled back, and none more spectacularly than Flint.
Right.
GM employment in the Lansing area is much less than it was, but it still is one of the things that keeps our local economy going. And then we've got things associated with MSU and the state government and so on. So we're doing better than many of the other areas in the state of Michigan.
Well, we saw these numbers last week, Charlie, of Lansing ranking 7th in the nation.
Yeah.
In terms of job growth. Yeah, it makes me wonder what nation sometimes. But
well, it does tell you that, I don't think it's paradise here, but there are a lot of other places in the country
right.
that are not doing well. But we've got companies like Liquid Web and like Neogen
right.
and the facility for rare isotope beams. So
right.
there's a lot going on in the Lansing area. And I think, you know, looking down the road, I think there's a really good prospects that will continue. You know, it's not going to be nirvana, but
right.
it's going to be slowly but surely getting better, I think.
Well, I think a lot of people would love to have 600 new jobs.
Absolutely.
For General Motors facility, and I don't know how many when you talk about FRIB, but many, many hundreds.
Yeah, and remember, when you get a primary job like that, that injects income that those people are going to spend at the grocery store, at the hardware store, they're going to go to the movies, and that has a ripple effect, a secondary effect that will help the economy beyond just that job.
The State of the State survey that you do has to do with a lot more than just consumer confidence. You also talk about individuals and their approval ratings. President Barack Obama's approval rating was at an all-time low of 36.9%, and it has jumped 7 percentage points.
Right. We've taken we take this every quarter, so this is now the sixth time that we've done numbers for President Obama. And when he first came to office, the numbers were just sky high,
right.
71% approval, which I think most people look back at that and they think that that was probably unsustainable, unless he really could walk on water or feed 5,000 with a couple of loaves of bread. But
right. Well, the last time we saw numbers like that was after 9/11 with George Bush. Right?
That's exactly right. The highest numbers that we've ever seen were up in the mid-70s right after 9/11, and then the lowest numbers we've ever seen were the last ones went before Bush left office, down in the low teens. Then a huge surge upward to 71% the first time that Obama came to office, but then slipped to 63, 53, 44, 37, and finally it looks like it stabilized and bounced back up to 44%.
Has that bottomed out in your mind?
It's very difficult to tell, and of course it will matter what happens to the economy.
Right.
But I think it's probably bottomed out for the moment. I wouldn't be surprised if it bounces around, but it was very unlikely that it would continue to drop at the rate that it had.
You say that we give politicians way too much credit when things are good and way too much blame when things are bad. Can you talk about that?
Well, any elected leader has some ability to change the situation, but they can't snap their fingers and all of a sudden come up with hundreds of thousands or millions of high-paying jobs. It's a much more complicated thing than that. I especially mean that when talking about the governor, because honestly, I think the president has at least a little bit more power than any governor, but whoever is going to be elected next week, whether it's Rick Snyder or Virge Bernero, they will have some maneuvering room, but the fundamentals that we are a state that was so heavily concentrated in manufacturing, and manufacturing has taken a beating, that's due to global factors that are pretty difficult for a governor to control.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do believe that when times are good, we tend to give more credit than we should to elected leaders. And when times are bad, we tend to blame them more. But I guess, if you're going to run for office, you know that.
Charles Ballard, MSU professor of economics and also a conductor of the State of the State survey. How long have you been doing that, Charlie?
I've been doing it about 3 years. Now, the survey originated back in 1994, and Professor Brian Silver was the director for more than a decade. And then when he stepped down, I was asked to take over it. It's got a fascinating history. Every quarter when we bring out results, we emphasize the consumer confidence and the governor's approval and the president's approval. Those are sort of headline stories. But over the years, we've done everything from terrorism to education, taxes, road quality and public transportation, health care, bovine tuberculosis, you name it.
Are you familiar with a book called The Shrinking Middle Class by Emmanuel Collado?
I've heard of it. I have not read it. But, of course, the notion of the shrinking middle class is that's an idea that many economists and others have commented on, because it really is true that really for the last 35 years, if you're in sort of what I'd call the upper middle class or way at the top, it's been fabulous time.
Yeah.
But if you're in the middle or below the middle, not very good at all.
Yeah. It talks about the number of laws favorable to the wealthy and the eradication of the middle class through other means. Very, very interesting book. Talk about plummeting house prices, housing prices making the middle class poorer, and shrinking middle class wages having a direct spinoff effect, as you indicate. Very, very interesting, but it reminds me of the plutocracy argument, and I had a chance to discuss this with someone at lunch the other day. This happened to be someone who was making close to $1 million a year, and he really didn't care that there was a shrinking middle class. But I said, I don't see how this can be good if you have fewer people who are able to buy goods.
Well, I think you make a good argument, Jack. I think there are a lot of reasons to be very concerned about what's happened to the distribution of income and wealth in the last few decades. Basically, there are factors, some of which we have some control over, and some of which maybe less control. But anyhow, they all have been pointing in the direction of, if you only have a high school education, if you're the sort of the blue collar manufacturing worker, which really was the bedrock of the Michigan economy back not that long ago, those folks have really had a very tough time of it. On the other hand, the college-educated workers, you know, doctors, lawyers, and especially the CEOs, have done fabulously well. And, you know, I worry about whether we'll get to a point where the cohesion of the society is threatened because that gap has grown so huge. I think it's a very legitimate concern, and we need to talk more about it.
Charles Ballard, professor of economics, and director of MSU's State of the State Survey, and one of the most popular professors anywhere on campus. People say it's very tough to get your class. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack. Always nice to talk to you.